Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of tender care, like a mother, like a father, you never forget your children. And you know already what we need. In all our anxiety, give us trusting and faithful hearts, that in confidence we may embody the peace and justice of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the ways. On all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highway shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 131 responsibly. O Lord, I am not proud. I have no haughty looks. I do not occupy myself with great matters or with things that are too hard for me.
But I steel my soul and make it quiet, like a child upon its mother's breast. My soul is quieted within me.
O Israel, wait upon the Lord from this time forth forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory is not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring enough worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So did you hear about the story about two Kentucky farmers? They're ranchers that had land that was neighbor to each other, but they were far from neighborly. Seems that these two ranchers had developed quite a rivalry between them about who had the best and the fastest horses. Well, one spring, they each had entered their best horse in the local steeplechase. And one of the farmers, the ranchers, had decided that he would get an edge over the other guy by hiring a professional rider. So he employed this jockey to ride his horse. Well, the race started, and those two horses just pulled out in front of the rest of the pack, and they were far ahead. One of those two horses was definitely going to be the winner. And as they came around the final turn, both horses suddenly fell, knocking the riders off. Well, the professional jockey, quick as a flash, jumped up back in the saddle, took off, and won the race. Gets back to the stable, and the rancher is fuming. And the jockey says, what's wrong? I won the race, didn't I? He goes, yeah, on the wrong horse. And then the jockey realized that he had quickly jumped on the competitor's horse. He had his eye on the finish line, so much so that he was blind to the horse that he was riding. We can be like that. We can be staring so hard at the finish line or our daily pursuits that we're blind to the significant things that surround us. It can happen. We can get so focused on our career success that we are blind to the needs of our family. We can become so focused on material possessions and providing for our families and for ourselves at the expense of the relationships that provide for the heart and the soul. If our sights are fixed only on the material possessions, on social status, on power, we can become blind to the values of mercy and integrity and forgiveness. Now, that passage from Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, get your priorities straight. Don't get so focused on material things or you might end up finishing the race on the wrong horse. This is such straightforward teaching. We don't really need a long sermon to explain to us what Jesus was saying in this passage from Matthew's gospel. His teaching is so clear and so focused, just like he is encouraging us to be clear and focused. Set your sight on your relationship with God, and everything else will take its proper place. Be focused, be clear, know what your goal is, and everything will sort itself out. But you know what? Even if you forget that, even if you don't have your priorities straight, God won't forget. God won't forget that you have been called into a relationship with him. I went to my culture coach this week. I think I told you about that. There's a couple of the teachers in the preschool that I talked to about what life is really like. I live kind of an isolated life, you know, being over 50, I'm kind of out of the swing of stuff. So I went to the culture coach today, or last week, and asked some questions about tattoos. But I don't know anything about tattoos. I know where to get them. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But, you know, how much does it cost? Does it hurt? How do you decide what kind of a design that you want? All that stuff on the walls, it's called flash. So you can just get a flash, pick out one of those on the wall. And yes, it does hurt, but not for real long. And costs about $100 for colors more. So I learned, but my big question was, well, what if you change your mind? Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Because I thought, you know, what about that lightning bolt that I see on a lot of ankles? What if the Chargers do move out of state? What do you do then? What do you do with that commitment that you've made? Well, I think the idea of permanence, that idea of permanence, makes the last verse of our first reading so very important, so appealing. Through the prophet Isaiah, we hear the words of God. I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. You hear that? God has a tattoo. And that tattoo is your name, my name, on God's palms of his hands. With full knowledge of what he was getting into, God made a decision to love us. Not a decision of a temporary kind, like I write the parking spot number when I go to the mall. You know, you write A7 so you can find your car again. But then you wash that off. You write a phone number on your hand. This is not that kind of commitment that God is talking about. It's not the kind of a commitment that is conditional, like a contract that becomes null and void if you don't hold up, or the other party doesn't hold up their side of the deal. This decision is a forever decision, a promise without end. Not even death can separate us kind of promise. God's tattoo has your name on it, and it is an everlasting, eternal promise. And I think it's part of the human condition to want to be told that we are loved, to want to be reminded that we are loved. Who doesn't like to receive that random note of kindness or a bouquet of flowers when it's not your anniversary or Valentine's Day? Just because. One of the little preschool children has decided that she loves me, And every day when her dad comes to pick her up, she grabs her little lunchbox and then runs into my office to give me a hug and say goodbye. Just melts my heart. She's such a sweet, sweet child. God built that into us. God knows that we need to be told and reminded that we are loved. And he also knows that we have a very short memory and that we need a lot of tangible proof. We're invited to this holy meal as a sign of that lasting love. Evan is joining us for the first time today. He's been begging. How long, Jennifer? We had the class and the preparation time for First Communion, and every week Evan says, is it today? Can I have God's bread today? I love God too, Mom. Can I have it today? He really has been eager for that. I think we can all learn from him today that eagerness for sharing this meal, that it's not, even though we share the meal on a weekly basis, this is not something that is ordinary. This is God's tangible sign for us of his presence in our lives, of his love for us. He's given us his words in Holy Scripture where he tells us over and over again how much he loves us. It says in Scripture that God takes delight in us, in his creation. He goes so far as to get a tattoo with our name on it. That's commitment. That's dedication. That's love. That's permanence. That's promise. That tattoo should seal the deal for us, that we are indeed the precious, beloved children of God. We belong to God permanently, unconditionally. Thousands of years ago, the Israelites needed reminders of that love, of that promise of God. God had promised that he would send a redeemer, but they weren't convinced. They had forgotten back and forth. They had forgotten that they had been called into this relationship with God. They needed some proof. We hear that in the reading this morning. The Lord has forsaken me. God has forgotten me. Now, there are times when we do need more of a reminder of God's love and faithfulness. Like when illness strikes either you or someone you love, you may wonder about that promise of God's care. When the earth shakes and fires and floods and storms take the lives of hundreds of thousands of people across our world, we may wonder, where is that God who takes delight in his creation? We long for relationships that are fulfilling and permanent, relationships that are enriching, and then we find our friends moving away or getting too busy with their jobs, or our marriage fails, or our relationship just disintegrates through our lack of attention or communication. And we wonder, will that happen with our relationship with God too? Will God go away if I don't pay attention? Will God change his mind as other people have changed their minds about loving you, caring for you? 2,000 years ago, when the prophet Isaiah recorded these words, it was a practice among the pagan people that they would carve an image of their pagan god on their hand. The pain of that carving would be a sacrifice in a way that they hoped that their pagan god would notice. They wanted to attract the attention of their god and say, see, I'm willing to suffer for you, so then you should take care of me. Well, our God steps into that crazy religious world culture and turns everything upside down. That God takes it upon God's self to carve our name in his hand. That God takes it upon himself to send his son to be the sacrifice rather than to demand a sacrifice from us. My cousin Kathy got a tattoo on her shoulder, and it's very, very pretty, says Paul. She was very proud of that tattoo and loved it when summertime came and she was wearing short sleeves and we could all see her love emblazoned on her arm until they got a divorce. And then she didn't know what to do. So what do you do now? You know, you can't wear long sleeve shirts for the rest of your life. So she decided to have it filled in, and now she's got this big, I think, kind of odd shaped flower on her shoulder, and it doesn't say Paul anymore, but it's a constant reminder to Kathy and to all of us who knew her when of that divorce, of that failed relationship. Thanks be to God that God's tattoo isn't like that. It can't be crossed out. It won't be removed. God doesn't go back on God's word. God's love will never abandon us. God's love will never fail. That is a permanent relationship. When I started asking my culture coach these questions about tattoos, he thought I was asking about myself. He says, so for a friend, right? You're asking just for a friend? You need this information? Well, I don't think I'm going to be getting a tattoo, but it brings real joy to know that God has a tattoo with my name on it. It brings real joy for us as a Christian community to know that God's love is so strong, so permanent, so sincere and unconditional. May your heart too be filled with that joy, knowing that God's tattoo has your name on it. Thanks be to God for the assurance of his love.